SwingerCast is intended for mature audiences. If you're under 18, this show's not only not for you, but you're not even going to be able to get into the places we're talking about. For the rest of you, sit back and enjoy, and remember, this is just from our own personal experiences, and it should not be misconstrued as professional advice.
SwingerCast!
SwingerCast is about our
hot
times that we have and our
hot
love that we have. Some people claim that we say
hot
too much, but we don't care because we love our
hot
times. I'm John.
And I'm Allie.
And you're listening to SwingerCast.
Episode 108.
Our little show has just been hanging out in your podcast feed, hoping you would click on us.
And you did.
Good to see you again.
Thank you. Good to see you again.
Hello.
Hello out there. Hope you're enjoying yourselves.
We are going to be very busy this summer and wanted to give you guys a little bit of an update. Hope you can join us. We're going to go back to Nadia Nolens. Details are on our website with the dates. It's in the end of July, but towards the beginning of July, we're going to go to Freedom Acres Resort 1 year anniversary.
And that's in San Bernardino, California.
Yes, it is. And we've been there.
Yes.
Done that.
For your birthday.
Worth going back. Hope you can join us. Will be fun. Clothing optional. Big old pool party. I'm sure it's going to be off the hook fun.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, yeah.
Details are on our website, and really hope you guys can join us for that. And even if you don't, go to the resort. It's a blast.
Yeah, it's so much fun. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, I'll just tell you one little thing more about it. I mean, it's Freedom Acres, which has been there for 30-something years.
35, I think, or
yeah.
33.
Now they have a clothing optional resort, and it's really close to the club, and there's a free shuttle. So you can go over to the dancing and the cocktails and all that, and come back to the resort and
to
you can
pool party.
They have cabins you can rent, or you can do an RV, or you can tent. It's really nice, a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a great time when we were there for your birthday.
Yes, we did.
I had a little too great of a time.
Yes, you did.
And messed us up for the next day, so we've got to make up for it. That
we're gonna have a repeat.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll do a do-over. But details are on our website.
And hope you can join us. And if you can't join us at Freedom Acres Resort, definitely join us at Naughty in New Orleans.
And that will be July 29th through August 2nd. Now, we've been to Naughty in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. We recorded audio
lots and lots.
Naughty in New Orleans this past summer when we went. So,
what we want to do in this show is share the interviews, the fun times. You're going to hear from lots of other swingers in this one. You're going to hear from other podcasters.
Yeah.
We recorded a lot, and we hope you enjoy it.
Yeah. So, we're going to take you back in time to Naughty in New Orleans.
2014. Allie went on a vacation before Naughty in New Orleans, so she left like a week before the event to go hang out with her family. And I think you had to pack like two bags, right? A vanilla and a Naughty.
Yeah, that was a challenge. And I had to leave you with the really naughty stuff that I couldn't pack in my Naughty bag. And I had to come up with a good story of why I was going to leave my family and meet you in New Orleans. You know, what could I possibly be doing, you know? So luckily there was a red dress run
in New Orleans. So this is crazy. The red dress run, it's not just for women, it's guys too. So everybody wears a red dress, and they call it a run, but really it's like a bar crawl, a drunken Mardi Gras party.
It's a very popular event. So that was our cover story, sort of.
And we told them that we were going to go to a speakeasy party as well, because that was one of the events that we were looking forward to at Naughty in New Orleans, the swinger parade that ended at a speakeasy.
So that was our cover story, and that was a good cover story. And I did good this year because I knew I wouldn't want to mess with my hair, so I packed multiple wigs this year. That was a good packing tip that I'd like to share if you're going to a swinger event. that has multiple costumed theme nights, and it's in August in a hot, humid climate. Just take wigs. It's great. I didn't get to see you for over a week. We didn't get to have sex, and it was torture for me being there. I couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah, no, me either.
I mean, the whole time I was there, I was like, oh, I just couldn't sleep. So I was excited to get to Naughty in New Orleans, and I got there before you. You flew in later, and I did a meet and greet with our group at the Hard Rock. I held it an hour before the main meet and greet for the event was going to be there. And that was fun. That was a lot of fun. And it was the vanilla part of Hard Rock. We're at the bar. And when some of the couples would come in, I could tell, you know, they were the swingers that were looking for, because they hadn't seen a picture of me, or I didn't have any swinger cast shirt on or anything like that. We had fun picking out who the people were. We were right every time. Okay, yeah. Are you looking for a meet and greet, a swinger cast? And they were like, yeah, yeah. And it was great because instant friends were made at that meet and greet in such a short, fast time. And you were flying in, and I know we were driving you crazy because I was sending you...
You're sending me text pictures, or pictures on my text with boobies.
Booby shots. Yeah, hurry up. Hurry up. And at first, some of the couples were saying to me, thought that I knew everybody, you know, and that everybody knew everybody, and they were the only ones. And I was like, no, really, seriously, I only know three people here.
Right.
I've just met these people minutes before, and they were like, whoa, yeah. And then everybody just talked and had a good time and instantly became friends, and that was a good thing. And then you came and you showed up probably about an hour and a half into it.
Yeah, it was winding down when I got there. Everybody was leaving or getting ready to leave to get ready for the parade. So I didn't really get to meet a bunch of people at the meet and greet, just a couple
of couples.
Yeah, because
we had moved out of our location in the main Hard Rock area into the swinger location.
But I know that leading up to that meet and greet, that everyone was on our forum, and we had a little private area, and I think some people had made at least a little bit of a connection beforehand. Maybe they didn't know what they looked like or sounded like, or but they had at least a face to put with a screen name, I guess. But I just met a couple of couples, and before you know it, it was time for us to go get ready.
Yeah,
for the,
I was a little worried. You know,
parade.
I was like, oh, John's not with me, you know, because we're always together at these things, and I hadn't seen you for over a week. And I was just going crazy waiting for you to get there. And I wanted to jump your bones, so we left. And I ended up not jumping your bones right away then. Because it was a friend, a good friend of ours' birthday.
Yeah.
And we went back to the room.
We went to their room and...
gave them our birthday presents. Uh-huh. And you kind of, like, disappeared. Because you had actually thought, before you got there and before the meet and greet, that I would have time alone with...
Well, yeah, you had asked me before you left. We had talked about it. You were like, you know, I'm going to get to New Orleans several hours before you even show up. Would you mind if I gave this birthday guy a double blow job with his wife? And my response was, well, you can fuck him if you want. I mean, because they're great friends of ours. We've played with them lots of times. And so I'm thinking the whole time I'm getting on the plane, I'm like, well, I wonder if they're playing or whatever. And then I asked you after we went to the hotel meet and greet, did you guys get a chance to give him the double blow job for his birthday or fuck him? And you're like, no, we haven't done anything. So when we got to the room and gave him the gifts.
Wait, you slipped out.
Yeah, I went down to get another gift for him that you had actually bought. We sure were giving him a lot of the gifts. Now that I think about it. Probably would have been fine with just the double blowjob.
Exactly.
But you had gotten some speakeasy briefs.
Yes, and I thought, wow, I just found them like the week before. I thought, wow, what a great thing. I've got to get John some, and I've got to get Mr. Smooth Sailing some for his birthday. And it would be perfect for the speakeasy night because the parade went down in our speakeasy outfit, paraded down to the speakeasy, which was at Lucky Pierre's.
So these are briefs, what she's talking about, that she got us, and they have a zipper in the crotch. So you can put a flask in there. But what I did was I put condoms in there.
Yeah.
Lube in there.
They're so perfect.
Perfect swinger
the
briefs.
The perfect swinger wear.
So it's speakeasybriefs.com, and there's a 10% discount at checkout. We put swinger cast in there because Allie called the guy on the phone.
I was like, "This is gonna be perfect for swingers. It's a startup company, and I was like, you should definitely market this for swingers because
those guys are pack mules for you ladies.
Condoms lipstick. And my lipstick. Oh my god." She and I. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I don't mind bragging, but us together, the combination of us together, that's the best, my best double blowjob partner. I mean, we really, really do get down with those yes. double blowjobs.
I would have to back up that statement. And, you know, I got a birthday coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll have to fly her out here. Yeah, so it's so much fun giving double blowjobs with her. And we definitely gave him one to remember. And, we didn't end up having sex. That blowjob was too hot, I guess.
Yeah, I got a text message from them. It was like, we're done.
We did. I came back.
And a naked picture of you girls both, like, over him.
Yeah,
know?
That was funny. So, yeah, we got dressed really quickly, as fast as I could. But I guess it wasn't quite fast enough. We were supposed to meet everybody down at 8:30 in the lobby. I probably got there closer to 5 till 9, and the parade left at 9. So we kind of got in at the end of the parade. It wasn't like last year, and it was partly because of my being late. But in hindsight, I'm glad that we were at the end of the parade. What we found out after the parade was that there was
a television crew that was following it, and that Bob and Tess had decided to make this a swinger pride parade.
Yeah, and they didn't announce that. Well, they put it in the booklet, but when I was checking in without you, I was just, you know, signing the paper and moving on and getting out of the line, and I didn't read the book. I didn't know that there was going to be national news coverage at the parade, so it was good that we weren't in the front of the parade.
That's true.
And that is fortunate. But then again, I flashed at the end of the parade. I was dancing right around by the Treme brass band out in front of the speakeasy and right in front of the camera, so they probably got me. And I didn't know because I didn't read the pamphlet that said, wear a mask if you don't want to be
on TV.
So anyway, so that was a downer. The reason why we're, I guess, in the closet or keep this secret swinger life isn't because we're ashamed of what we're doing
right.
at all. We're just having fun. We're not trying to convert people. We're not trying to to speak out for being oppressed of some way. Well, we just want to do our own thing and have fun at our little mm-hmm. hobby that we enjoy.
And I think the point too is, I mean, there were other podcasters that were at the event with us. Average Swingers were there. Swap Foo was there. Average Swingers, I mean, they're out on their Facebook. They're out to a lot of people, and more power to them. That's what they want to do. But my point is you can't really throw a big party for a lot of swingers and then wait and spring it on them at the last minute, is what it felt like to us. That, oh yeah, everybody, we're gonna call this a swinger pride event. It's gonna be on the national news. So I guess if you've told your family you're coming to New Orleans and you're gonna go to a speakeasy party, your cover's blown. That was the downer for me. In hindsight, the Nightline piece was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Just wish it had been communicated to us a little better beforehand of what was going on.
Our cover wasn't blown.
Well, no, our cover was blown, but we didn't get busted. There's a difference.
Yeah. There's no face shots of me anywhere.
Well, yeah, and your parents weren't watching Nightline.
Yeah.
Who watches TV anymore anyway, really, right? Everybody just listens to podcasts, right?
Right. But that was fun in the speakeasy party. It was at a gay bar. It was a great burlesque show.
Yeah, and you know what? And that's when I got to meet one of the other couples that you had already met at the
thing. You were just catching up. You were catching up.
I didn't know anybody hardly.
Trying to meet the other couples.
I'm in line to get a drink, and I'm like, oh, shit, it's cash only here. I had just been on a plane, been to a swinger parade, and I'm like, I need cash. And the guy behind me is like, John, no, you don't need to go leave the line. I've got you. And I'm like, oh, cool. And I hadn't met him yet, or I'd met him briefly, but you meet so many people and it's dark and you're drinking and it's night, whatever. But so much fun at that club. So much fun at that speakeasy.
Yeah. Some of the group went, not from our group, but some went to Colette's that night as well.
Mm-hmm. Colette's is a on-premise sex club in Nolens, and definitely mm-hmm. one of the nicest places in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That next morning after we fucked all night, because we hadn't seen each other for a week, you got up before me and you went to a little
business meeting
that they had for other lifestyle promoters that were there. I slept through that one.
Yeah, you did. I can believe I was up and in there. And some of our other people went to, they had different seminars and classes during the early part of the day.
Bob and Tess put a lot of planning into this event. There's a ton of stuff to do. You can't possibly do everything. It's like Disneyland.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Disneyland for swingers. After that, we headed to a party at the beach on Bourbon Street.
That's pretty much what we were resting up for. That's what I was resting up for. Was that party, because I remember how wild and fun it was the last time we went.
Mm-hmm.
And that party was wild. I mean, it put Girls Gone Wild to shame. Girls Gone Wild was like a Disney compared to this party. It was wild. And we had the perfect spot, because it ended up,
six, seven women got up on the bar and were
right
dancing
there.
Naked. Right,
they were like, trying to get me up there, but I'm like, I was going to get up on the bar and dance with them. But I was waiting because the Swap Foos had just flown in and they were coming over. So I was kind of looking out for them.
So about that time, the Swap Foos got there and we're hanging out with them. Miss Swap Foo, she's a cutie. She's like, I didn't know there was going to be, like, full-on nudity and so much sex going on at these, like, daytime parties. And she was like me 2 years ago. I had no clue either the first time I went to the event that it was going to be such a, you know, I didn't know it was a takeover. So, this is Mr. Swap Foo, and I'm here with SwingerCast, and I guess John wanted to know if we had any takeaways from Naughty New Orleans. What do you got going on there, Foo Girl? What do you think?
I have one takeaway, and that is have a drinking plan.
You have a drinking plan?
Yes. I mean, you can plan to drink, but I also need to plan when I'm drinking and for how long.
Right. Do you have a plan tonight?
Yeah, I already implemented my plan for the whole day, and so from now on I'll be drinking.
Oh no.
So I think that just generally, I think that the, you know, I think you mentioned in a previous podcast that this is like one of the best organized events.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And since this is the first one we've come to, we found it to be very, very well put together, very well organized. The events are well thought out. The place is, you know, classily decorated. And
there's certainly something for everybody at any given time of the day.
Yeah, the day events were fun. And, you know, we're actually going to go to our first night event tonight. So we're looking forward to that.
That's the drinking plan.
Yes, exactly.
What's been your favorite event in the day?
We really enjoyed the night at, the day at Razoo's, right?
Yeah,
that was our favorite.
And Razoo's.
Yeah.
Both of those were the same. Like
those were pretty wild.
Those were really wild. Yeah.
When I say wild, I mean it's hard. I mean.
Yeah,
it was beyond wild.
I thought that at some point they were going to tell somebody to stop. They never told anybody to stop anything.
Well, I didn't realize when we signed up that those were takeover events, so I didn't understand that there would be, like, I thought we'd be sharing the venue with, like, regular patrons, so I didn't know that there would be, you know, nudity and blowjobs and cunnilingus and, like, all that other stuff
going
on. I know, like, people just walk up, that girl that just walked up to me and held her dress up.
So what happened? I didn't see that.
I licked her pussy for, you know, yeah. Just walking around.
That's all you have to do, just walk up to you and hold your dress up, and then you just go like, ah, all right.
Yeah. She said I have a beautiful clit, and show us. And she hiked up her dress, and
there it was.
It was, and it was beautiful.
I think that's what you call escalation.
I think that's probably. I saw it happen. I was like, okay, I guess that's in.
So 2 months ago, you went to your first club.
Yes.
And now you're here at Naughty in New Orleans. And you brought your Sibian, a Sibian. Tell us about that.
We've had our Sibian for probably 10 years, and we haven't played on it. We didn't play on it much the first few years because we moved, and then we moved, and then we moved again, and it's like, okay, what box is it in? But we brought it with us thinking, this might be a fun icebreaker, and indeed it was. We met a few couples that were same experience level more or less than we are, and we mentioned that we had one, and they said, ooh, that sounds interesting. So we had a Sibian party in our room a few nights ago, and all the ladies tried it out. And
about how many?
Three other couples, and all of the women really enjoyed it, and some of us were louder than others, but everybody had a good time. And we had one of the couples had the husband controlling the controls. I think that woman had the best time.
Yeah.
Because
he was one of our group, and he was just both cruel and fun with the controls.
Yeah, she had the best time. One of the other women did the other two women, and
it was fun. And again, the other thing that was interesting to us is when we finished playing on the Sibian, all four couples just sat and chatted. And it's amazing how you just feel like you've known people your whole life after you've been on... No, I haven't been on the Sibian with them. After you've shared a Sibian with them.
After they've seen you, you have an orgasm.
Yeah.
And
right. Kind of breaks some barriers down.
So what is this experience in such a large event like Naughty in New Orleans?
Yeah. By today, the shirt that I wouldn't have even thought about putting on Tuesday and Wednesday, it's like, well, hello, here they are, here's my boobs. And we had fun in a bar the other day. I have pierced nipples, and it's amazing what a conversation starter pierced nipples are. And I encourage everyone, every woman to go do that, because woo-hoo.
If you've seen The Hobbit, I call these her rings of power, because we walk through
my
a
precious.
Bar, and she can't take three steps before, I don't know why all the women want to taste these rings, but they do. And it is a great icebreaker. But, it's interesting, the first night, you think, everybody said it's overwhelming. You know, be prepared, it's overwhelming. And I thought, how can it be overwhelming when you've got however many thousand, you know, 1,000, 1,500 people here, all of whom are here to play, you know, the hotel's sealed off, and I thought, how could that be intimidating? But in some ways, starting out, it was almost harder to connect with couples than in a smaller club, because there's so many people, and there's so many people talking to each other, and you meet somebody. We had a couple of couples during the day at the bars that we met, and it was very clear they were interested, and you can't find them at the theme thing that night. And so we've kind of had to learn some lessons. I mean, the
you have to be a little bit more direct. If you want to have an afternoon date, if you want to have a play date, and there's a connection there, you just have to be direct and say, hey, you want to go up to the room now?
I mean, yesterday we were meeting with a couple in our group and just talking with them, and we hit it off with them as friends, and she said she'd never played with another girl because we're describing our journey. And she said, I've never done that.
But I'm a little bi-curious. And I said, well, you wanna investigate that?
Yeah.
She said, yes. Yeah. I said, well, wanna go do that now?
And she said, yeah.
And her husband was like, okay, let's go.
Yeah, he left skid marks. So, but I, as the week has gone on, we have just, I think for new people, now, it helps a lot being with you guys in a group. You know, there's kind of an anchor there. And it's not like we all kind of follow each other in a cloud of dust around. In fact, we tend to lose you guys at night as we go off and do our things. I know other couples do, too. But there's kind of an anchor there of people you can come back and you can talk to. You can ask questions. You know, we sit at the table together at night. Mm-hmm. And I would say if you're coming the first time, it is large. If you can connect with the SwingerCast group, that's the best. But some group of some kind, I think it's really, really helpful to compare notes like we've done with other couples here. Mm-hmm. I also, the diversity of ages here has just blown us away.
Last night was pretty hot on the dance floor with all you guys in your red dresses.
The red dresses.
What do you think about that?
It was a little bizarre, but you know, after you get over the my husband's wearing a dress thing, not that there's anything wrong with that, you know, it was kind of hot. You know, easy access to the good parts, and that's usually covered up by pants.
Well, and that's a good point, because I was dancing with you, and Allie came up and was rubbing on me from behind, and she quickly informed me, you know, you have nothing on under this dress, so you really can't hide how happy you are right now.
It was fun dancing with everyone on the dance floor.
It was
a blast.
And I didn't know how many people were going to have red dresses, so I had my backup. But then when I heard the rest of the group, I said, well, if it's just this group, that's good enough. But everybody had them on. You would have felt out of place without them.
When we were riding down here in the elevator, there was a gentleman that he were talking about how odd it was in the men's room with all these red dresses using the urinal. And
In the urinal.
There were people lined up in the urinal, you know, standing in front of the urinal.
I wish I had a picture of that.
I would have loved to have taken one, but I think that would have made it even weirder.
That would have been a little over the line.
But yeah, it was fun. I learned what the ladies have to go through trying on dresses.
Yeah.
And one thing I would just I wanted to say that doesn't really it's kind of a non sequitur. That I have really enjoyed, you know, when we have played like at the club, he has always felt like, well, I need to wear a nightie or something. I don't want to, a little body conscious. Mm-hmm. And when we played with a couple the other day, it's the first time I've seen her just take everything off and just completely not self-conscious whatsoever. And I've also never seen her so orgasmic as after we played with the couple and the other girl. And had played a lot, and then I was in her from behind, and she was kind of kissing on the other girl, and I just reached under and touched her, and it was like, well, boom, over the edge, and I'm like, okay, this is fun. I mean, she had aftershocks. I was touching her. I thought it would have been one of those tantric things, because I was just touching her on the shoulder, and she was orgasming, and it was like, okay. So.
Yes, a good time was had by all.
Yeah, when we ran into you guys in the playrooms the other night after your Sibian party, then you came up to the playrooms, right?
Right, right.
You were glowing. You both were glowing, but you especially. You were just so relaxed and just had a smile and glow about you. I could tell.
Yes.
I could tell that she had multiple orgasms.
Yes, over and over and over.
It's great.
Yeah.
great. Well, I'm so glad that you guys came, and well, you're helping out lots of other people here and having fun with yourselves.
We really appreciate you guys inviting us down, because like I said, you know, two things. We really do, and not just because we're sitting here with you, we really do appreciate the podcast, because I don't think we'd be here without it. I don't know that we could have done the club thing and known what to expect without that. You've answered our stupid questions about
without having to say them out loud in front of you. It's like, okay, what do you do when?
Yeah.
You know?
And so it's just been a blast for us.
Well, great. Great. Awesome. Tonight's going to be fun, too.
Yes, indeed.
The finale, the Mardi Gras.
Now, if it was hard to find people otherwise, it's really going to be hard to find people with masks on tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Testing. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Okay, so we're here with
Mr. and Mrs. Swamp Fu, and she's about to tell us a funny horse story.
Hi, I'm Miss Swamp Fu. And the funny horse story has, you know, nothing to do with anything except it was a funny story. Okay, so Mr. Swafu and I, my mind wandered, right? Mr. Swafu and I were hanging out downstairs having a drink. We were talking to a couple that was hanging out on Bourbon Street today. And they told us this story. They were hanging out last night at about 2 o'clock in the morning. They wanted to go walk Bourbon Street because she had never been out on Bourbon Street in the middle of the night, and they wanted to go see what kind of chaos was going on. So they're walking down the street, and there's this guy, and he's getting rowdy, and he gets into a little argument with the cop, and he decides to, because the cops are on horses, right? Because at that time of night, that's how they get around, because you know you can't get down the street. And the guy gets pissed off, and he smacks the cop's horse.
He slaps the cop, yeah. The cop's horse, yeah.
The cop's horse. And what did the guy say? He said, that's a felony offense because...
Well, because the horses are considered commissioned officers.
Yes. So that guy just committed a felony. So he just like thinks his shit's done, and he walks into the closest bar.
Runs into a bar, yeah.
Order a drink. And the cops ride into the bar on their horses. So they have it set up where you can get into the bars on horses, and they were saying like even some bars have like put out big buckets of water on top of the bar so that the cops can come in and their horses can get a drink.
Get watered, yeah.
They want to be friendly with the cops here, right? And they said the cops rode the horses into the bar, they cornered the guy, smacked him up against the wall, and handcuffed him and took him away. And they said the whole thing lasted 2 minutes. And 2 minutes, it was over.
Wow.
And that's how they take care of shit here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
they don't play around.
No, they don't play around. And I don't blame them because, this is the Red Dress Run. And so there's like a million drunk 22-year-olds on the street right now. And I kind of feel bad for that kid because it's a felony offense, you know. And he's going to wake up tomorrow from his trip from New Orleans and he's going to be kind of fucked for a long time.
More like he's going to show up to a job interview 10 years from now, and when he gets to the point where they ask him, have you ever been, you know, convicted of a felony, he's going to have to check the box.
He'd
say, whatever, I smacked a horse. So yeah, that's the way it goes.
This next couple we talked to, they actually have a podcast now since we've been back. They have started their own podcast.
They really got a thing. They got a podcast, and they got a website. And their website is www.wegotathing.com.
Well, I think one of the takeaway moments, because this is our first big event, is just how easy it was to connect with people and, you know, just how open people are and how willing they are to just sit down and have a conversation with you. And the friendships that you make are they're just, you know, you expect here to come here and have a fun, sexy time and, you know, meet people. But it's deeper than that. And that's really the added benefit.
Did you guys go to any of the seminars or classes?
We did. And actually, before I answer that question, I just have to say, I mean, we've been big fans of SwingerCast for a while, and one of the things that we were looking forward to in coming here is everything that you've just mentioned, but also, you know, meeting you guys and getting a chance to talk to you face-to-face, and so this is really a highlight for us as well for the weekend. But we've enjoyed, we went to 4 seminars, and a couple of them didn't go as well as maybe they could have, but 2 of them we really enjoyed and had a good time. And I think it's because we're learning a lot about ourselves and where we kind of fit into the whole lifestyle and which ones to select, what are the best ones for us. But we really enjoyed them overall. And, you know, we've met some good friends. And actually, it's funny because we are from the East Coast, and everyone that we've met in a limited time we've been in lifestyle has been on the West Coast or in the middle of the country, and we had to come all the way to New Orleans to find a couple that live an hour away from us. And we've really connected with them and had a good time with them, so that's been fabulous, yeah.
And they're here.
Yes, yes.
And they're here. And you guys came last year, right?
We did. We did come last year. So it was kind of strange because the people that we met, we think of ourselves as newbies. But of most of the couples that we met, we were the only ones that came last year or have been here before. A lot of the couples we met haven't ever been to Naughty in New Orleans. So we think of ourselves as newbies, but you know, yeah, we're not as new as everybody else. So the conversations have been great because you don't realize, I mean, we've met a lot of people that have been in it for 6-10 years, but we've met a lot of people that have only been in it for a year, year and a half, just like us.
Or two months,
exactly. So that's been great.
That's wild. And is it different this year?
If I'm honest, this is probably the first time that we've met a couple that we really connected with, and the fact that they're only an hour away makes it that much better.
That's great.
We've only been in the lifestyle for about 9 months, I guess, maybe not even that. And I like to say that this was the most unnatural step, you know, for us, because coming into it, I think what's fascinating is just talking to people and hearing their stories and how long have you been doing this and how did you get into it? And everybody has a different story, which, and ours is a little bit different too, but our relationship, we've been married 30 years and our relationship is so strong, and the first time we started talking about this, it felt unnatural, but the more that we talked about it, it almost felt like it was just the next natural step. And the community that we're coming into, you guys included, are so open and warm and welcome and genuine and sincere and honest people, and that's really the main attraction, well, except for the sex, but the main attraction to the community.
Yeah. I have a question, and then I'll have a follow-up. I've always just wanted to say that. whose idea was it? And and then which 2 seminars? And I'll take your answer offline.
So I think it was a little bit of back and forth. I mean, I always, you know, just like probably every other guy in the country, had said, boy, it would be nice, sure would be nice to have a threesome someday, and drop those bombs, you know, every so often, strategically thinking that one day she would miraculously, you know, say, yeah, sure, honey, and I'll let you take it from there. But that's kind of how I, you know, talked about it at first.
Well, and then, you know, we talked about, well, what kind of fantasies could we fulfill if we actually went to, our first experience is we went to Desire. So, you know, it kind of put us in an environment where we could explore, you know, as much as we were ready or willing to, I guess. So, you know, we just talked about some fantasies that really wouldn't take us very far, but I figured it would kind of like satisfy his curiosity, and then, you know, I could like check that off my bucket list. And then it wasn't weird. I mean, it like he said, it was unnaturally natural, and it's
the connections that you make with people, you know, you can go into it for just like mindless, mind-blowing sex, but it doesn't have to be that way. You can make a genuine connection with somebody, and then it doesn't feel wrong, it doesn't feel taboo, but it feels completely different. And at the same time, you can look over and watch your partner experiencing pleasure from something that you're doing with somebody else, and how weird is that, but how exciting it is and satisfying.
And after 30 years, you know, to me, we know each other so well, but when she learns new things about herself, those are just things that I get to fall in love with about her that are new to the relationship. And that just like shivers up my spine, because it just renews your relationship. And we talk about a lot of this, gosh, we haven't felt like this since we were dating. So it's really been cool. And I do have a follow-up answer to your question, if you want me to give it to you. So I attend a lot of conferences in my vanilla profession, and some of the sessions here, and I can be specific, but a lot of times when you go to a conference, people get speaking opportunities because they're sponsors or because they're selling something, or they're vendors at the conference, and they usually get these roles that they get to play for 10 or 15 minutes to pitch their product. And especially in a couple, not necessarily the newbie seminar, but the intermediate seminar, the questions were answered from the aspect of the business that the person owned, instead of listening to the questions that were coming from the people that were asking the questions. So I think there was a little bit of a disconnect there. But other than that, I mean, even in that one, we got some nuggets. You can pull, you know, nuggets out of everything. And we try to be, you know, kind of open-minded about everything anyway, and not be too judgmental about it. But that's just some of the feedback I picked up on.
Did you make it to the cowboy party and ride the bull?
No.
But I heard you wrote a Sibian.
However.
Like that segue?
Yes, there just happened to be a Sibian party one night. Yeah.
Well, we went to a party a couple of weeks ago on the East Coast, and we knew there was going to be a Sibian there, and she always wanted to get on one. And that night, the environment just wasn't
It was crowded.
Yeah, it was crowded. So when some of the group that we came with was Swingercast, somebody had put out on a forum that they were going to bring a Sibian, and her ears perked up and said, "I'm in." And so,
what a way to get to know somebody. You know, that was an excellent icebreaker party.
You guys all fairly new, and they had only been in the lifestyle for 2 months, and they bring the Sibian, and you guys were getting more than we old timers here. So we were talking about this with our other friends. We were like, wow, they're getting down.
So how was it?
How was it? I think that answer is probably pretty obvious.
Did you do the control?
Yes,
right,
he did.
I did the remote, and really didn't have much of an opportunity to do it because it didn't take very long.
It's effective.
So I'm not sure if I did it right or if I really could have taken my time a little bit more.
I don't
more,
think you can do that.
You only made it halfway up. I think it was not even on number 5. And
I'd been anticipating this for a long time.
And you went as well?
I did, yes.
Was that your first time?
It was wonderful. And ask who did the controls for me.
Who?
It might have been me. Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. In terms of events, in terms of parties, what's been your favorite party so far?
Everything has its something to offer, I guess. This has been better than I thought it was going to be. I don't have a really super outgoing personality, so I can't just like bust into a room and kind of take over and just start like meeting and greeting people. It takes me a while to kind of warm up, and I like to stand back. I love to people watch, and that's been really fascinating. But it's been much easier, and especially coming with a group. You know, we had the opportunity, you know, to chat back and forth on the forum before we got here, so at least you had some sense of some of the people that you were going to be with. And we were just saying this afternoon, we were down in the lobby having coffee before we came up to get ready, and there's 1,400 people here approximately, and you keep running into the same people over and over and over again, and it's just, it's weird how that happens, and it's nice because you see these familiar faces. And
what we like to talk about after the end of the day, whether it was an event or whether we shared an experience with a couple, she likes to say, you know, what snapshot is in your head about something that happened? And so to answer your question, there's two snapshots I have. first on the parade the other night, and we were dressed in Roaring Twenties, and I don't dress up, really. I've never done that before. And
oh, you don't?
No. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. But anyway, on the way back to the hotel, Bourbon Street, this tourist and his wife came out in the middle of the street, and they said, "What's going on? You know, is there some sort of a convention here?" And I've never really verbalized this before, but I said, "Well, yeah, we're at a swingers convention." And the guy looked at me and said, and it was registering slowly in his head. And he said, I said, "Yeah, a swingers, you know, oh, and that's all I could say. And it was so much fun to watch him process that, and the look in his eyes, and his wife kind of jumped back. And we, when we turned around and walked, and I said, "Boy, that was a lot of fun just doing that." The other thing was then the next night, speaking of somebody who doesn't like to dress up, I had a red dress on, and this lady came up to me and she said, "I have to say, your ass looks so nice in that dress." And she was sincere. And my wife says, see, I told you. And so the rest of the night, I was just strutting around in my red dress. Yeah. So because of those two little snapshots, those were my favorite events.
That was great. The energy last night on the dance floor with everyone dancing, that was amazing. It was a lot of fun. I loved that.
But John, next time, lose the iPhone in your special little pocket under your dress.
Come on now. I got my gentlemanly like ways. Oh, I grabbed her hand and I put it on my crotch, and she's like, the look on her face was like, "His crotch is..." Crotch is just like an, yeah, he's rectangular.
We've been listening to SwingerCast for a year, and you know, you have these fantasies about what a John and Allie look like, and oh my gosh, if we ever get to meet him. And John takes my hand and puts it on his crotch, and I grab his iPhone.
His briefs have been the best. No, I mean, he can carry everything in there, and
I'm a pack mule.
Definitely.
I'm a pack mule. All right, well, let's go make some snapshots and some dancing energy right now.
Absolutely.
Sound good? Is there anything else you guys wanted to... Comments, questions, concerns? Okay, let's party.
One last night. Let's have some fun.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's do it.
So we headed out into the night of New Orleans, and man... beads were flying, boobs were exposed. We had a great time dancing on the dance floor. Snapshots were made.
Oh,
yeah. All that good stuff.
Yes, they were. And what you're about to hear is our sexy time. It's quite a marathon of sexy time. So it started out, we were walking through the play area, and it's a vast play area with hundreds of beds. And I don't remember seeing this couple out dancing, but every time we would walk around, they were also looking for a bed too. We just kept kind of bumping into them while we were looking for a bed. And here's the rest of the story.
So I was a little surprised that you were so spontaneous. I mean, you're a very spontaneous person, but I mean, we didn't know these people. They were strangers. And you just said, "John, they're getting a bed ready to play over there. It's supposed to be a good spot. You ready to go?" And what about them do you think struck you as playable, doable?
Oh, that's funny, because it just happened so quickly. I immediately felt a connection with them. And, oh, they were just being friendly and offering their bed, you know. We were looking for a bed.
They were going to take us under their wing?
I guess so.
Okay.
I don't know, but I immediately liked them and knew that, I mean, all we were agreeing to was playing beside them, but I could tell right away that I liked them and that they were going to be cool. They were just laid back, and they were so in love, you know, the way they were talking to each other. I could tell they were experienced and...
No rules were even discussed or no...
No, it wasn't. We just walked through with them and the bed was in the back corner. And then we passed by a bed of four people that were in our group, and they were all naked, and they were all kind of like relaxed and spooning and talking romantically, and maybe they had just finished and taking a breather or just
Hey guys,
talking sexy, and we
fancy
walked,
meeting you here.
They were right there, and I was just kind of a little bit laughing to you, like, this is gonna be fun. This is gonna be fun adventure. We didn't know these people, but I knew they were gonna be cool. I just really knew it. And we laid down, and they were, you know, laying down beside us, and we were talking, and as you were getting ready to go down on me, and they were taking off their clothes and stuff and laying down, we were talking, but we were kind of just talking about our relationships and where we lived, that kind of thing. We weren't talking about play or anything. It was just really brief, so, but nothing was mentioned about play, which is kind of understood. But he sat up pretty early on and asked if he could touch, and I think that's what got things started. And then my response was, you know, sure, yeah, you both can touch, I love the touch, or something like that. He kind of started touching my tits while you were going down on me, and she was laying beside me, and she started holding my hand, and we started kissing, and very, very sensual, very sensual. And I think he was going down on her at this point. So we were both coming and kind of, you know, doing the girl thing, you know, while we were coming together.
I was going down on you after we, like you said, we talked, and then I could see, you know, his hands on your breasts, and eventually they kind of trailed down to your stomach, and eventually I saw his finger right in front of my face on your clit, and he's kind of touching you and edging over more towards you, and I kind of sat up, and I asked him if he wanted to go down on you, and he's like, yeah, and I moved over around and got between her legs, but, you know, I asked her first if it was okay if I went down on her, and she's, please do.
I like that we really didn't have to talk about what we were going to do sexually or not with him. I liked how it unfolded, kind of step by step, consent by consent, you know, can I touch you? Can I touch you? Neither one of us knowing how far each of us would go. It was kind of cool like that. I mean, we knew each other, were in great relationships and been married about the same amount of time, but we really didn't discuss any of what we would do sexually with them. And I liked how that worked, actually, because it was a gradual consent giving. Can I touch you? Can I go down on you? You want to go down, you know? And neither one of us knowing how far each of us would go, but knowing that we were really getting along. They had a real tantric vibe. They were just, you know, it was just really comfortable playing with them and lots of fun. We did double blowjobs, I know, on both of you.
Mm-hmm.
There was lots of touching and caressing, and there was, you know, that was, he was that way, and she was that way as well. They were both very, very touchy and feely, and during the time, sometimes they would talk about how much they loved each other, too, you know, or make some comments. When he was going down on me, at first, I didn't think it was, it was not in a way that I would normally think would get me off, but I was so in with their groove, and I just kind of relaxed into it and enjoyed it very much. So
he was a little a lot of lighter touch than I am with his tongue.
Well, yeah, and it was a totally different rhythm and different way. It's not something that I would think that I would enjoy.
But you did.
But I did, because I was like so comfortable. I was enjoying, I think we all really connected, and I was enjoying the way it all flowed, and I was just trying to meet him at that and just lay back and enjoy the pleasure and not think of how, oh, he's not doing it the exact way that I'm used to doing it. I was just enjoying it. I wasn't going to like tell him to do it some other way. I was just really concentrating on the pleasure and enjoying the new sensations. And I did come. I really loved it. I loved playing with him. And I also loved, I could also hear the bed next to us and knowing it was some of our friends from our group. And just knowing that how hearing their noises of pleasure and knowing that they were having a great time and made a great connection as well, and they were fucking right next to us, that made it hotter as well, you know? When he was going down on me and you were going down on her, and she and I were like kissing and enjoying our orgasms, there was this loud noise coming from the bed.
Not our friends, but from a different bed, yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy.
These a foursome had just finished, and they were really loud and laughing and talking about not sexy stuff.
What were they talking about? I don't know. It was beyond not sexy.
Yeah.
It was something about war or something about
current events. I have no
what
idea
what they were doing, but they were talking on the top of their lungs, and since I was right there with her, I could tell, like,
it was taking her out of it.
Yeah, she was like,
finally she said something. She said, you know, I wish they would shut up. At that point, I got up and turned around and asked them, like, hey guys, you know, we're still playing here. You guys mind keeping it down a little bit? And at first, it was, I was kind of surprised, because every swinger that I know is guilty of this faux pas, this mistake, you know, and including myself. But when someone reminds you gently that it's not a good thing, the protocol is, oh, yeah, sorry, hey, we'll shut up right now. But at first, these two guys looked at me like I was disturbing them. And then there was
one... They got all defensive about
it. Yeah, they did. And there was one girl in their group who quickly put the kibosh on it, you know, told them, hey, yeah, we need to... There's still people playing in here. We need to... It was late, but still.
It's funny because afterwards, when we talked to the two couples that were next to us that listened to our podcast, they were like, got a kick out of you
hushing them,
hushing the people. Yeah, it was really bad, but you got them quiet, and we carried on.
Yes, we did.
We carried on.
If they were talking about war, I soldiered on.
You soldiered on.
I did. Just kept
going.
Yeah,
and then there we... Oh, man. It was very erotic and sexy, and...
She pulled me up and started giving me a blowjob. And I think that's when the double blowjobs actually happened, because I was going down on her, and then she pulled me up and started giving me head. You coaxed her over to her husband's cock, and you guys were both giving him a double blow job, and I was kind of up against her ass and rubbing her ass and massaging her shoulders, and while she was giving a double blow job with you. And then you girls came back onto me. I got a great double blow job, and and then you went back over to him, and I love watching you give head. It's like an out-of-body experience watching it. You're really good. And then, what did you say to him?
he said something like, what do you want to do, or something, and I said, I'm doing it, or something like that. I want to suck your cock and make you come.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, okay. And he put his hands back, and he said, I want to warn you, I am a screamer.
Yeah, yeah. See, I didn't hear that part.
Well, I was kissing him at that point, and he was kind of like whispering it in my ear, I think.
He's a screamer.
Yeah. And I kissed down him, down his chest,
you
his cock.
You give a great blowjob.
And started giving him a really, you know, passionate blowjob. All of a sudden, he started screaming, moaning, like so loud, like the loudest I have ever heard in my entire time of swinging and playing in playrooms all these years. I mean, louder than any woman, louder than any guy, definitely. And what was crazy is I knew he wasn't faking it. You know, if I had heard that and I was in another bed, I would have thought, oh my God, he is faking it. But I was down there and I could feel his orgasms like going through his body. And it lasted for a long time. And I was afraid to take my, I didn't want to take my mouth off his cock, because it went on for, and he was really making some loud noises. I wish we could have recorded it.
Okay. Warning, turn your headphones down now.
What? We didn't
record
it?
5, 4, 3. But I'll give them a little bit of what it was like. It was like...
Oh, he screamed out.
It was loud.
And he would change, like, pitch.
It was guttural.
Like a whale. Like he would change, like... You know. All across the playroom, but it was so intense for me. It was like,
I think a bunch of people just unsubscribed our podcast there. Done with that.
Even after he came, it was still rippling through him, and he was making noises, and I just kept my mouth on his cock. I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to like pull off my mouth off of his cock, even you know, and
I mean, it sounds
hurt him or something.
It sounds funny, maybe from us telling it this way. It probably sounded even funnier and weirder if you were in the room at the time. But if you were in the bed next to us watching it, it was hot. It was very fucking hot. The guy was super turned on, and you had him like climaxing, and he came in your mouth, and you took the cum, and you were like.
I kept my mouth.
You kept it in your mouth, but you had you swallowed it, but you had his dick still in your mouth, and he was still hard for a long time. And right before this had happened, she had asked me, like, she had looked at me, like, because the condoms were right there, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm about to watch your husband come in my wife's mouth. And she looked up, and she started watching it, too. And then she's alternating, going back down on me while you're giving him head and everything. But by the time he started moaning, and it, I mean, it was a show. And I think we were both kind of watching at the end. And as you guys finished up, she started going down on me pretty big, vigorously. But I'm like, that's a tough act to follow. And
wow.
I just told her, I'm good. I'm good. You're great. I had a great time. And she's like, I got to go to the bathroom. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, good. Allie's always said, if the girl says she has to go to the bathroom afterwards, then that's a good sign that she had a good time, that she had an orgasm. So, and she hasn't listened to our podcast, so I know she's not just doing that for my benefit. So I followed her. I went with her to the bedroom, and that's when we came back in.
Wait, we just laid there, and I was just blown away by his orgasm. I was talking to him about that, and it's like, wow, I could feel that, you know, rippling through your body. It was, that was intense. And I was talking to him about that, and then we just started talking, sexy talk, and
not like the couples before who'd been so loud, but I think we heard somebody on the way to the restroom. I think I heard right after he came, I did hear somebody say, do we need to call 911?
Yeah, someone yelled that out. I heard that. And I almost wanted to laugh, and I think I may have. I mean, because this couple, they were laughing throughout.
That was what's great about them. They had a great sense of humor.
The whole sex and the whole time, they were laughing, except during this part. They didn't laugh during that part.
So. No, that was good.
So, yeah.
She and I came back from the restroom, and I noticed another couple in our group, S and D, who were totally brand new, their first lifestyle anything, I think, and they're fucking in the playroom, and then
on another bed,
And then there's the other two couples that, you know, our other four friends, and passed by those guys, and kind of said hello to them for a second, and then jumped back on the bed with.
You didn't talk about what you did. Because you don't want to talk. You don't want to say.
Well, okay. So, yeah. So, I thought it would be funny if I, like, clumsily fell in the bed in between them. They were not playing anymore. And then I thought, no, don't do that. That's stupid. And then as I walked by, I actually honestly tripped. And I fell right in the middle of them.
It was funny because we were... The guy and I were laying on the bed, like, watching that.
Right.
And I was like, oh, did he do that on purpose?
Yeah, no. But those are great people. And they were totally cool with it, and it was fun. We continued to talk to those guys more.
Yeah, and they closed down the playroom. They kicked us out. I think we would have probably played longer.
Oh, we definitely would have played longer, because I hadn't come yet, and I was ready. Ready to fuck you, but they were, you know, they gave us the 20-minute, you know, call. I was like, I'm not going to start anything.
Laid there and
I can't
quietly got to know them a lot better, and they're from Seattle. Really cool people, and added to yet another awesome couple we know from now from Seattle.
We may have to move there, baby.
I know. So they're just wonderful, beautiful, all around.
I think we told them about the podcast, didn't we? We did, didn't we?
May have, and then they told us, he was like, I thought you guys might have been new at the beginning.
Right.
I was like, oh.
I think that's what we should do next time. We should just go to these parties and tell everybody we're new. Show us the ropes. We don't know what we're doing.
No. Well, all of our new couples that came with us, they were showing everybody else the ropes. They were getting it. They were on.
So we shut down the playroom.
Mm-hmm.
We put our clothes back on. We're having, I had saw, our, like I said, our friends S&D who were going at it in the playroom. And they just, by happenstance, they were getting their closed together at the same time as us.
They kicked us all out.
They kicked us all out, yeah. And so we're walking with that couple, S&D, over to the elevator, and I'm asking her, you know, how was your first time in a playroom? I thought it was her first time, and what do you think? You're going to come back? Would you do it again? You know, you looked sexy as hell. You look like you're having a good time. And we're chatting, and then we go, there's the pool area. We wanted to go up there and cool off and get some air.
Yeah, I just went up to the room to go to the restroom and make a drink.
And, man, it wasn't like 5 minutes up there, and she just says, can I kiss you? And you're not there. And he's standing there, and he's like, oh, I saw that coming. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I didn't. She's damn hot. I'm going to kiss her. Not going to turn that down. And that's when we met Al. Big Al. Little Al, whatever you want to call him. Do you remember Al?
Oh yeah, how could I forget Al?
He had a cooler. I mean, there's no like bar up at this pool. It's just a small pool, and he had a cooler, Crown Royal, wine, ice, mixers,
he
vodka.
He had it, every kind. What kind of vodka do you want? What you know?
He's like, what are you, I was like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, my lady, she passed out, and we've got all this liquor. We drove here, and I love being social, so I figure I'd just get to know some people, and this would be a good way to do it. You guys all look thirsty.
He had snacks. He had cups. He had it all.
I told him. I was like, dude, if you can't get laid up here at the pool, no one can.
Yeah. So we weren't really talking that sexually to that couple. You know, we were just, we knew. Mm-hmm. We had talked to them about what we had just done in the playroom, you know. And they told us about what they had done. But we weren't really, we were just cutting up with Big Al. And from my perspective, that you and I were just going to go back up to our room and have sex.
Stopping at the pool was only supposed to be a pit stop.
Right. Because it was late. We closed down the playroom. And this is what, an hour later.
It's like 3-4 in the morning at this point.
Yeah.
We continued talking up there. And at one point, I look over. And Al had come back to offer a drink again, I thought, but I had been talking to somebody else. I look over there, and Dee is, he's got her pushed up against, like, the fence of the pool, and they're full-on kissing. He's got his cock out. She's giving him a hand job. And then she backed away from the kiss after she was done kissing him, and he politely backed away. Asked us if we needed another drink.
Thanking him for the drink.
And then she comes over and she's like, I thanked Al for the drinks.
She's so cute.
She's so really hot.
Yeah, I was actually a little concerned, actually, about her, you know.
Why? Because she was new to it and everything?
She was one of the most concerned whether she was going to enjoy it or not.
But you know what? She took the lead on everything she did.
Yeah, she did, and that's...
Kissing Al, kissing me.
Yeah, and that's really...
important.
Especially, I wouldn't have suggested, because it kind of got sexy, and I knew that you were horny, that you didn't come in the playroom, and it was getting late, so I was going to... fuck you anyway, you know?
Well, sure.
And I said, and you were kind of looking at me, like, in a really horny, horny look. And they were like, okay, well, we'll leave you guys alone. And I said, no, that's just, okay. We're going up to fuck. You guys, you can come up with us if you want, and fuck beside us, do soft swap, but I could tell John is horny right now and wants to fuck.
Yes, you know me well.
And they were like, okay, yeah. And I said that basically to her, and I was gauging her response, because I wanted to definitely make sure that she was okay with everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she definitely was. Like you said, she took the lead, and boy did she.
Yeah.
So they said okay, and so we went up there,
marched back up to our room on the 9th floor.
When we got up there, she was not at all having any reservations about playing.
No.
And she
was off the reservation. She was on fire.
She was on fire. And Wow. I believe we just pretty much, I mean, it's at the time of night, early morning, where we just pretty much took our clothes off pretty fast and was down on the bed. And I don't even know if you went down on me first. Or if you just went straight for her.
I think you girls were playing a little bit first.
Oh, I know we were playing, but I don't know if... I mean...
You guys were on the bed, and...
we did play first.
Uh-huh.
And that's like... okay, the girl... the woman earlier... now her... I mean, that's the most... girl-girl play... that I've had in a long time. and it was hot. And it was, she was very passionate, very in tune with her sexuality and the moment, and really enjoying the moment and the touch. And I know at one point, I mean, a lot of points, we were kissing and embracing while we were both coming. And
lots of eye contact on this one, which is drives me crazy.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know, we got in pretty much body pile right away in a soft body pile that seemed like sex. Penetration, the way we were all tangled up. I mean, wow. And it was just very sexual and...
More double blow jobs.
Yeah.
She had a sexy corset on the whole time, which I thought was hot. I thought it was really cool that she kept that on. It was like...
Yeah.
It was a turn on. I mean, I love naked. And I love half naked. I love bodies. You know, yeah. It was fun. It was hot. And
she gave you... Awesome blowjobs.
Lots of blowjobs.
Yeah.
Lots of attention there.
And we just moved around and we always stayed connected. And every time she was having an orgasm, I was feeling it too.
He made lots of comments later that he really enjoyed watching us playing with her, because there were moments where the three of us were, you know, we did a three-way kiss and...
Yeah, that time, well, I mean, I was going down on him. It wasn't like he was sitting over in a chair. He was right there with us. But
no, but he shared with me later that it was like sensory overload, and he was like, he wanted to play, but he also wanted to watch, because, you know,
yeah,
he thought about his wife playing like this for a long time, and it was...
With a guy.
And I can relate to that. It's hot.
In like a threesome scenario.
Uh-huh.
But, like... The time where I was like, fuck me, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I either sat on you, cowgirl, or kind of got on you missionary in a way from on the top. And then she kind of put her body over and I kind of leaned back. And you were fucking me. And we were fucking, but she was on top of us and kissing you.
That was intense.
And it was so close. It was almost like
we were
fucking us both.
We did that for a long time, and that is what did make me come, because it was fucking hot. Fucking my wife. And I have this other girl, and she's just...
Her naked body, or not naked, her corseted body over us. And then she's kissing you. And I got so excited that I, like, would... While you were still fucking me, I would kind of like sit up, and we would get, she was leaned over and I think he was fingering her, but I felt like we were coming at the same time, or maybe she was just coming with me and kissing you, but we all three started kissing. I just wanted to kiss you guys too. And as you were fucking me and we were all kissing and she's laying on top of us on you and he's fingering her from, it was just really hot. Hot, hot, hot.
I did not put my dick in her, but I fucked her.
Yeah.
I fucked her, looking her in her eyes, and just the way that she was just melting. Yeah. It was hot.
So, that was very surprising. Out of all the couples that came with us, I worried about them the most, and her especially. I was worried that she wasn't prepared for this, but my gosh, she... was awesome and
rocked our world,
and a very sexual being, and I loved it. And he is so much fun.
It's always the quiet ones. It's always the quiet ones.
He wasn't quiet.
No, but she was a little bit at first, but damn, if that's how she just first comes out of her shell, wow.
Yeah, wonderful couple. And I hope they enjoyed their time as much as we did.
We enjoyed it so much we missed our plane flight.
Yeah, that's how much we enjoyed it. Oh, my God. We played until we had, like, possibly, okay, we can lay down for 40 minutes before we have to get up and get ready for our plane. And I even, like, I hurried and packed, and you were like, oh, we just need 40 minutes of sleep. Just let me lay down 40 minutes. And then I said, okay. So I set my phone alarm as well, so we'd be sure to get up in 40 minutes. And motherfuck, did we forget to turn on the sound, and neither one of our alarms went off, or they went off but with no sound, and we missed our flight. Surprise, surprise. We got to extend our trip. It was good. I don't know what we were thinking. We're making a plane reservation for in the morning of Sunday. What, are we crazy?
Well, about an hour later, after I had, you know, rebooked our flight, I woke up enough to do that, then went back to bed, got a text from our friends, sailing couple, and they stopped by the room to say goodbye, and you were asleep, and I'm thinking to myself, well, Allie hates morning sex. Miss Sailing Couple hates morning sex. It's too bad.
Good times.
Definitely recommend Naughty and Nolans.
Mm-hmm.
Fun stuff.
And way to go, new couples. You all rocked.
It was nice seeing all of the new couples that we met, but it was also nice to meet for the first time Average Swingers. We've listened to their show. And always great to see the Swap Foos.
Mm-hmm. She's fun, with a capital F-U-N, baby.
Yes, she is.
She makes a trip to the ladies' room exciting.
You got a meeting in the ladies' room.
Yeah. Wow. So I hope they... I think we lost contact with them on Saturday night. I hope they had a wonderful time. And like a theme for the trip... seemed like instant friends. You just make friends so quickly and in like a setting like this. It's just amazing. And I don't know if it's the nakedness or the sex on the mind or what, but people are just so much more open and talkative just from like even riding in the elevator, like I've said before. It's like an adventure and fun to do. Because everyone's just talking, and you know what? I think the key is everyone's getting sex, and you're in a fucking good mood, and it just, the energy just bubbles over all over the place, and I think that's it. Everyone is just having sex and sexually satisfied, and it's just wonderful to be around it and be around so many people. Whether we played with them or not, just the energy. Being around so many people, like-minded, naughty, fun people.
So do you want to go back there?
Of course. Thank you so much, Bob and Tess. We are looking so forward to coming again in 2015, this year, in July. So excited. And we hope you guys will join us, too.
I think the theme nights have been announced. You can always check our website, swingercast.com, and check out for upcoming details on the trip. We've already had people sign up. Those of you know who you are, we're excited to see you again.
Yes, we are.
Our partners in crime. And, I mean, Nolans is always fun.
It's fun.
And don't forget, you can also join us in July at our Freedom Maker one-year anniversary resort party. That's going to be a blast.
Come camping with us.
Yeah. Well, be some happy campers.
Some happy campers, yeah.
And as always, thank you so much for listening and staying subscribed.
Oh, I wanted to also, I know I wanted to shout out to Average Swingers. They were so much fun.
They're a lot of fun.
I was so glad to get to meet them.
Absolutely.
They're a lot fun
people.
And we hung out with
them. I would say they're above average. I really
above
think
average. Oh, yes.
Their name is kind of misleading.
Of course.
Maybe that's their ploy, their plot.
And they're coming back this year, too.
Are they?
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
So we'll get to see them as well.
Fantastic.
And Swap Foos, of course.
Yeah.
And the new podcast, We Got a Thing.
They're coming too?
They're coming as well, so.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be
we're getting the band back together.
We're getting the band back together.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, come to our website and join us.
Yes.
And we'll see you. And if we don't, we'll tell you all about it. And thank you, couples that came with us.
Also came on the trip with us.
Oh. And also came on the trip with us.
Yeah.
And contributed to the show. We love you and...
see you next time.
See you next time. Mwah.